Anyway, let's get right into our word this morning. As you can see on the screen, we're continuing on with our series, Unstoppable Church. And again, I just want you to understand that I'm doing this series at the beginning of the year because I want us to become an unstoppable church. Now, I say that, and many of you are like, Pastor, what more can we do? Well, hang on. We're going to find some more. We've been so busy in the last 2 years. We have stepped, as I said, we have stepped up. We've ramped up ministry in our community. We've been a visible presence of the body of Christ in Cleburne and in Johnson County, because our ministry hasn't just affected locally, but it has affected the entire county when we continue to do the food distribution and all the things that go on. And so, we're looking at the early church, and how did that church become an unstoppable force for good, and how can we do the same thing? Now, my text this morning, we're going to be talking about the power of praise, the power of praise. My text is going to be a very unusual verse of Scripture to set this up. We've been talking about the New Testament church, but we're going to go back to an Old Testament story to illustrate what I'm talking about. So, Exodus chapter 15, beginning verse 19, and it reads like this: For the horses of Pharaoh went down with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord, everybody say the Lord, brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Look at verse 20. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. Amen. Powerful verse there. You know, I kind of hope God has a DVR and that's recorded. I really do. I want to see that. What a sight that would be. This morning, we're talking about the unstoppable church and how that the early church, the first church, became an unstoppable force for good because they dedicated themselves to five purposes. And if we want to do the same thing, if we want to become an unstoppable church, then we have to implement these same five purposes. Remember, the first church devoted themselves. Now, that's an important word. Devoted. Devoted. What does it mean? It means that they were committed first and foremost to Christ and secondly to his body. We looked at that in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, talked about what they did. Again, they were devoted to. Listen, we'll never get to first base if we're not devoted to anything. Listen, if your New Year's resolution was maybe to lose a few extra pounds, well, listen, if you're not devoted to that, it'll never happen. Maybe it was to learn to play an instrument. Well, if you're not devoted to that, you'll never learn. Maybe it was to speak another language. Well, listen, if you're not devoted to learn in another language, then you will do. You'll speak Tex-Mex like most of us all do, right? When I travel in Latin America, when I do mission trips, I always talk about my Tex-Mex, mucho gusto, you know. Brother Ignacio used to tell him all the time I was going to learn. He would try to teach me. But again, you've got to be devoted to these things. That means you have to be committed to them. Let me ask you a question. Can Jesus believe in you today? You ever thought about that? Can Jesus believe in you? I know I did a sermon on that many years ago by that title, but listen, does he trust you because you've demonstrated yourself to be faithful and loyal, or does he know that you're not dependable? That is a soul-searching question. The Bible says Jesus, in one particular passage, it said he would not commit themselves to them because he knew what was in his heart, in their hearts. In other words, Jesus withheld some of himself back because he knew that the people that he was talking to were not dependable. And I wonder today how many of us who sit in our churches around this country, he would say that to. I know what's in your heart, so I'm not going to commit myself to you. You've not demonstrated your dependability and your loyalness and your trustworthiness. That's a powerful thing to think about. It's a hard question. Amen? It's a hard question, but so many people today want to name the name of Jesus without really being in a relationship with him. Oh, I'm not knocking that they believe. They believe in him. He just doesn't factor into their daily lives. Let me say that again. They believe in him, but he does not factor into their daily lives. Listen, Jesus is more than just what I do on Sundays. My relationship to him, with him, is more than just his influence in my life in Sunday go to meeting day. It is every day of the week. It shapes every facet of my existence and my being. And if not, then I have an inferior faith. Listen, again, let me ask you this question. How has your relationship with Jesus changed you and your daily routines? Is there evidence to show that you are producing fruit for the kingdom? Again, those are penetrating questions, but they're questions that at the beginning of the year we need to answer. Because if we're going to become an unstoppable force for good in 2022, we have to devote ourselves individually and corporately to the five purposes that define the early church. Listen, there are many churches today that you can go to any Christian bookstore, you can go online, you can find a myriad of books on how to build churches today. Listen, if you get them with a gimmick, you got to keep them with a gimmick. There are people today that are looking for the silver bullet to try to influence people. I'm telling you, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The gospel still works where the gospel is preached. I don't believe that many people in America, and I think we have to understand this. I mentioned this in early service. We've got to understand that, listen, I grew up in church, and probably many of us here did the same thing. But we can't take for granted that the people that we run across on a daily basis had that same exposure. Most people today, I would say most people today, have no idea what the church is all about except the information they've got off of television, which how many know that? That's a boob, they call it the boob tube for a reason. That's all the information they have. Again, I think if we're going to become the unstoppable church, then we've got to do these same five purposes. Last week, we talked about authentic community. Community, that's us. The Bible says how wonderful it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Again, we've got to make time for each other. That means that we need to come together on a regular basis. Again, look at the early church. The Bible said they met in the temple. They went from house to house, breaking bread. There you go, eating. See, it started with first church. It'll continue on. They broke bread together. They fellowshiped together. So they met in the church house, and they met in homes. We have connection groups. They meet in homes. Again, that was something that they did. So we need to make time for each other. And here's another thing. We need to show interest in each other. I mean, I told you last week that, listen, people don't care how much you know, the old adage, until they know how much you care. May this never be a place where people walk in carrying the weight of the world upon them and nobody show genuine interest. This ought to be a place, because of authentic community, that people can walk in and be, number one, be real. They need to take the mask off and be who they are. But then they need to find support. They need to find people that will lock arms with them, that will stand together, pray them through situations, pray them through the difficulties, stand together in unity, because, listen, we're better together than we are apart. Again, this needs to be a haven where hurting find healing and the hopeless find hope. That's how we become an unstoppable force for good in 2022. Now, in Acts chapter 2, it says that when they devoted themselves to each other, it describes them like this, that they were praising God and enjoying favor of all people. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. So the next purpose in which they came together and devoted themselves to was praise and worship. Praise and worship. Listen, there's something incredibly powerful about corporate praise and worship. I want you to understand that. There is a synergy that is released when it has nothing to do with the music, has nothing to do with the songs. There's just something powerful when the body comes together and begins to praise and worship God. There's a synergy, a power that is released unlike anything else that we have going on. It's a powerful thing. I mean, again, go back through the scriptures, and throughout scripture, it's been used as a powerful weapon for believers that have been facing overwhelming odds and overwhelming circumstances. But praise has always been part of the arsenal that they've used to battle. Praise and worship, think about it. It lifts our spirits. How many's ever been in a bad mood? How many's ever met somebody cranky? Yeah, don't raise your hand. Yeah, I see elbows going over there. Listen. We all know what it's like to walk in on. Anybody ever been in a bad mood on a Sunday morning when you came to church? Okay, well, I got a couple honest people here. Now, we understand. I mean, listen, life is life. Sometimes life just kind of dumps on you, and sometimes life just kind of beats you over the head. And we come to church, thank God we do that, but we come to church and we're not feeling it. Hey, you know, Pastor, I'm just not feeling it. But you know, we walk in, and has it been your experience? You've walked in, maybe you've been in a bad mood, maybe you and the missus got in a discussion, or maybe you and the kids got into the discussion, maybe you and the dog got into the discussion, I don't know. And you walked in, and you just wasn't feeling it. You just wasn't feeling the kumbaya. But all of a sudden, you got in here, and the music started, and the praise and worship started going. And you ever had the experience that you came in, and maybe you were carrying the weight of the world, things going on, and the song selection spoke right to what you were dealing with? Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing how God sets us up for things? Listen, praise and worship lifts our spirits. It pulls us out of the trenches, and it puts us on offense. The offense. I said offense. Listen, the enemy shakes. I want you to hear this. The enemy shakes when God's people begin to praise. You need to understand that the enemy is terrified when God's people come together and lift their voice in praise and worship. Listen, sometimes there's not anything that we can do, but when the praises go up, the glory comes down. And somehow God makes a way where there was not a way. See, praise is a powerful thing. In our text, I love this story, and that's why I said I hope that God has a DVR up there, because I want to see this. Now, this story is when the children of Israel had just crossed over the Red Sea, okay? So they got delivered out of Egypt. They marched through the wilderness. The Pharaoh changed his mind. So you got the mountainous terrain on either side. You got the Red Sea in front of you, and then the enemy's coming up from behind. And they're a little bit frustrated because, well, you know, they kind of murmured and complained a little bit. Would to God we'd have died back, you know, just kind of stuff like that, like people do. So they're there, and they're telling Moses, Moses, I love what Moses does. Moses is like, slow your roll. Just chill out. No, he didn't say that. He said, stand and see. And the Bible says when he stretched out his hand, God sent a wind and it blew and parted the Red Sea. And they walked over on dry ground. And when they got to the other side, the Pharaoh's army, the enemy, thought they could do the same thing. And so they went barreling down into the Red Sea with their horses and chariots and the riders. And the Bible said when they got down in there, God causes the waves, the water to return, and it killed them all. And so think about this. You're watching this scene unfold right before your eyes. God had delivered you. He's delivered you from Egypt. He's now delivered you over across the Red Sea on dry ground, got you over there, and then wiped out your enemy. So they're watching this. Miriam can't stand it. Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Moses and Aaron, she can't stand it any longer. Listen, there are just some things when you get in the presence of the Lord, there's just something about it. They're just, I think the Lanny Wolf trio, that goes back a long time ago. Lanny Wolf, I think they used to sing a song, The Holy Ghost Has Set Your Feet A-Dancing. I'm telling you what, she saw this, she witnessed the power of God intervene on their behalf. The Bible says she grabbed a tambourine, went on out to the desert floor, and about 1.25 million other women did the same thing. Can you imagine 1.25 million women dancing across the desert floor, singing praises to God because He brought a mighty victory that day? That's what praise and worship does. It sets people free. It does an incredible thing. So why, again, I mean, I'm just telling you, I hope God shows that because I want to see it. Why is praise such a formidable weapon? Why should we be people of praise? Well, let me give you three things real quick this morning. Number one, praise intimidates the enemy. Praise intimidates the enemy. How many's ever, I know that this is dating. How many of you ever seen the old Charles Atlas advertisements in magazines? Anybody? Okay, some of, yeah, you got to be older than a certain age. Some of the younger generation, go look it up. Anyway, Charles Atlas was, he was a bodybuilder. He was a kinesiologist or something like that. You know, he did the bodybuilding, stuff like that. So anyway, the Charles Atlas, if you saw their advertisements in magazines, here's what you would see. You would see this 90-pound weakling. I'm talking about a little boy that doesn't have arms bigger than a quarter. And he's on the beach, and he's got his girl with him. And then walks this buffed up dude, kicks sand in his face, takes his girl, and leaves. Well, the wimpy boy starts training the Charles Atlas way. And pretty soon he's Well, they, you know, pretty soon, I'm probably 10 years later, but anyway, pretty soon, pretty soon he's back at the beach to reclaim his girl and bully the bully. I mean, so suddenly you get this guy that is a wimp, arms bigger, no bigger than a quarter, and he trains the Charles Atlas way, and now he's buff, and he comes back, he retrieves his girl, and he bullies the bully. So suddenly this kid that couldn't get out of a wet paper bag is now king of the beach. This is what happens when we praise and worship. This is what happens, especially when we're going through the deep, dark valleys of life. See, it's like we start training the Holy Spirit way. Listen, that's why the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of terrible things. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which has come upon you to try you as though something unnormal or abnormal has happened to you. But rejoice! How many has ever read that scripture and thought, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Well, see, that's the whole thing here. When you start training the Holy Spirit way, you soon go from someone who is no match for the enemy to someone who now intimidates the enemy. See, that's why it's such a formidable weapon. See, praise is the language of faith. Think about it. Praise is the language of faith. It declares what God has done, it declares what God is doing, and it declares what God will do. It is a language of faith. The praise of Israel on the banks of the Red Sea. Here's what they were doing. It was a declaration for all the other nations around. Look out, we're coming. That was it. Listen, there are times when the devil thinks he has the upper hand, and it's kind of like you're in a boxing match, and he sneaks in an uppercut, or maybe he sneaks in a roundhouse, a hook, and knocks you, stuns you and knocks you down, and he's ready to do a victory dance over you. See, sometimes the devil does that. Sometimes the devil gives us a hook, an uppercut, catches us off guard, stuns us, maybe knocks us down for a little bit. He's ready to do a victory dance over us. But, and that's a big but, when we begin to praise and worship, oh my goodness, when we do, listen to me, it sends chills down his spine. Because he knows that though a righteous man fall seven times, he will arise. Micah the prophet, I love what Micah said in Micah 7 verse 8, says, do not rejoice against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. See, that's what I'm saying. That's what praise does. When we begin to praise in the midst of circumstances that we can't do anything about, when we begin to rejoice and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, when we don't feel like it, we're saying to the enemy, you know what? I might be down now, but I'm not out, so you better watch out. There's something powerful. It begins to intimidate the enemy. It's kind of like with Joshua, when Joshua was leading the children of Israel into the promised land. What was the first city they came to? Anybody remember? Jericho. Yeah, Jericho. And here's the interesting thing. He had sent spies into the city. And so when the spies came out, they had met a lady by the name of Rahab, the harlot, okay? And here's what she said. Listen to this. I know that the Lord has given this land to you and that a great fear has fallen upon us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard, very important. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did at Shion and to Shion and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now listen, where did they hear that? Where did they hear that? See, somebody had been singing, and somebody had been testifying. Somebody had been speaking words of faith and words of exhortation. Somebody had been telling look what the Lord has done. They've been declaring the goodness of the Lord. Faith is a language, or praise is a language of faith. It declares what God did. It declares what God is doing, and it declares what God will do. Somebody had been talking, and these people heard, and they were terrified. See, we all have times when we don't feel like praising God. In fact, there are days that we're more apt to sob than we are to shout. The enemy's attacked us, hurt our family, affected our health, wounded our heart, and in the flesh, we don't feel much like praising God, but you know what? That's the best time to do it. That's the best time to shout with a voice of triumph. That's the best time to let the enemy know that, hey, you might be down, but you're not out. It's the best time to let him know that you're not going to stop praising God now. Listen, you praised him in the good times, now praise him in the bad. You praised him on the mountaintop, now praise him in the valley low. You praised him in the sunshine, now praise him in the rainstorm. Because regardless of what's going on, God is worthy of our praise. See, praise intimidates the enemy. It strikes a nerve with him when people begin to pray. Listen, there's a theological word called I already said it, omniscient, which means all-knowing. There's only one who's omniscient, and it's God. It's a divine attribute that squarely belongs to him. What does that mean? It means the devil's not omniscient. That means he can't read your thoughts. The only thing he has going for you is history. It's history. What I mean by that is he understands that if I hit a person with a personality, again, he's got history on the side. So he understands if I hit you a certain way, you're going to respond a certain way. That's why the Bible says do the opposite. Rejoice when things are bad. Count it all joy. Praise. See, it short circuits him and it sends chills down his spine because he knows he's in trouble. Number two, God lives in our praise. Another reason, again, if we're going to be an unstoppable church, we have to incorporate praise and worship. And what it does is God lives in our praise. Psalm 22, verse 3, David said that God inhabits the praise of his people. What does it mean to inhabit? It means that he lives by, that he's enthroned. Listen, God lives in our praise. If we want to be unstoppable, then praise and worship are vital. See, and here's the thing. God's presence makes all the difference. God's presence makes all the difference. That's what I said. We've got churches today all around Western culture in particular that are looking for gimmicks to get people in the doors. But again, as I said, if you use a gimmick to get them, you got to use a gimmick to keep them. So why not? Listen, it's the presence of Jesus. Listen, I love our praise and worship. I love our classes. I love our teachers. The whole team. I love all of that stuff. Listen, but if Jesus is not with us, if Jesus is not in the house, we should have stayed home. Because he's the only one that has the ability to change. He's the only one that has the ability to take a bad man, make them good. He's the only one that can bring somebody in that he can reach from the uttermost to the guttermost. He's the only one that can do that. We still need the presence of the Lord. It is his presence that makes all the difference. It's his presence. I love what Psalm 96, 1 and 2 says. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Again, that's a command to sing, to praise, to worship. When we do that, the Bible says all of creation is groaning. Right now, there's things going on. Do you know praise and worship has been in the arsenal of God's people since creation? It has been in the arsenal of God's creation since the very beginning. In fact, Job chapter 38, it says, the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Listen, God created the world with singing and shouting and praising. And you know what? This singing and shouting, as I said, has been going on since the beginning of time. And guess what? There'll be more singing and shouting at the end of time. Listen, if you don't like praise and worship, heaven's going to be a miserable place. Because there's going to be a lot of that going on up there. Revelation 15 records the song of the Lamb. It says, great and marvelous are your deeds, the Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of all the ages. Worship. Listen, since the world was created in a symphony of joyful praise and creation, all creation will break into song when Jesus comes again. You and I have been called and left here on earth to go ahead and sing and make a joyful noise unto the Lord in the meantime while we wait for his appearing. I'm going to ask you, you're welcome to do so, but I was reading through this and close your eyes if you want to, just for a moment. I want to read this to you. I want you to imagine this. If you can imagine with your eyes closed, go ahead and imagine with your eyes closed. But think about this. Revelation 14. Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb. Picture that. Standing on Mount Zion. And with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like the loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne. Can you picture that in your mind? Can you picture thousands upon thousands and ten thousands of saints standing at the throne of God and worshiping together? What a sight that's going to be. Listen, God lives in our praise. If you're in the middle of a bad situation, that's why praise, again, not only does it intimidate the enemy, it also, God lives in that praise. If I want him to be with me, praise and worship is a very powerful thing. Listen, there have been times when, especially over the last 10 years of my life with the situation with Sheila, there's been times that I've really gotten into some really deep, dark places of depression and just maybe even sometimes maybe a little bit of anger, of having to contend with some of the things that we have to contend with. And you know what's pulled me out of that? Praise and worship. Man, there are some songs, right? Today's modern music. Listen, I grew up on the hymns. I love the hymns. I'm not, but there's some songs today, man, they're just absolutely powerful. Powerful stuff. And I'll be in that deep, dark, depressive state, and I can put a song on, and it's not very much longer till my feet are tapping and my hands are clapping, and my heart's doing somersaults inside my chest. I'm just excited. Praise is powerful, which that leads me to the third thing that praise does, praise and worship. It unleashes the power of God. It unleashes the power of God. Listen, an unstoppable church recognizes that, again, that praise is the language of faith. We can praise God for the victories today, okay? But we can also praise God for what he's going to do tomorrow. That's why it's the language of faith. We can praise him now for what he's already done. But listen, tomorrow, walls are going to fall. Mountains are going to move. There's victories ahead because we have learned the power of praise. And I think it's incumbent upon us to demonstrate that. I said this in early service. I think our children and our youth need to see parents in a worship service. They need to see you worshiping. Again, and I don't think there's any prescribed way of worshiping. I like to see people, I love people raising their hands. I see people with tears streaming down their face. I mean, whatever worship that you, however you worship, worship. Our children need to see that. They need to understand that when you begin to worship, you're battling in a realm that is not physical. You're using weapons that are not carnal. And you're battling and you're fighting the forces of darkness. They need to see that and understand the power of God through our praise and worship. I love the story, one of my favorite stories in all the Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. There's a guy there by the name of King Jehoshaphat. He's a king of Judah. And he gets a letter one day, and this letter says, basically, this is my paraphrase, this letter says, hey, we're coming for you. We're going to wipe you out. You're going to be done. And we're gonna really mess you up. How many of you ever got a letter from the enemy? I want you to think about this. The enemy sent you a letter, said, hey, I'm gunning for you. I'm coming after you, and I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it through your wife, I'm gonna do it through your husband, I'm gonna do it through your children, I'm gonna do it through your job, I'm gonna do it through your health, I'm coming, I'm gonna take you out. You know what he did? He got that letter. And I love what he did, because most of us would start panicking. Most of us would start running around like Chicken Little, like the sky's falling. Not him, King Jehoshaphat. You know what he did? He took it to church. He took that letter to church. Again, I don't want to deviate and chase that rabbit, but there is a synergy when we come together as a body. There's something powerful about it. So he takes that letter to church, and he lays it down on the altar, and he says, okay, God, what you going to do? See, he understood one principle that I think oftentimes we forget. The battle doesn't belong to me. It's him. It's his. See, if I'm an heir and a joint heir of Christ, and I'm a son of the King, then I got he's my intercessor and my advocate. I've got somebody who's fighting my battles for me. So I need to bring it in here and lay it before the Lord and say, hey, Lord, look, the doctor said it's inoperable. What are we going to do about it? The doctor said I'll never walk again. The doctor says that it's cancer. The doctor said this, or my job said this. What are we going to do about it? See, we panic. And I love what God said to him. He takes that letter, lays it out, said, okay, Lord, they're coming after me. I'm in their crosshairs. What are we going to do? I love what he said. God said to him, position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Jehoshaphat, don't get worked up, buddy. I'm on your side. I got this. Just stand still and watch. And so Jehoshaphat stood, and he said this to the nation. Here's what he said, verse 17. He says, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed, notice what he did here. He appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, were praising God, were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Forever. Now listen to what happened. Now. Everybody say now. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Did you get that? I love this. Again, this would be interesting. Again, being a military strategist, being when I served, I was trained in tactics. And I tell you, here's basically what he said. He said, okay, now, if you know every branch of the military has a band. Okay, they have a band. Air Force has a band. Army has a band. So think about this. If I'm going out to battle, say that we are engaged in warfare, and the general calls up and says, hey, send me the band. Okay, what do you want to do with the band? Well, just send them out here. I want them on the front. See, normally you think about having the infantry up front. You know, you want to get the Green Berets and the Delta Force and the SEALs. You want them up front. But the general calls and said, bring me the band. That's really what God did. He said, Jehoshaphat, let's get the band going. And so they stuck the band out front. Now, can you imagine being a band member? but we're supposed to be back there. But here's the thing. I don't want to go into this too much. Judah being the praise tribe, God gave very valuable lessons. Anytime you enter into conflict, send praise first. Amen. Send praise first. See, that's what he did. The enemy said, I'm going to do you in. Jehoshaphat said, well, Lord, what do we do? He said, you know what? Send praise first. Send praise first. See, it unleashes the power of God. It unleashes the power of God. See, praise, I want you to hear me, it initiated the move of God on their behalf, and it secured their victory. I mean, think about Paul and Silas, New Testament example. Paul and Silas were in prison, right? They're surrounded. They're in the inner part of the dungeon. Now, they could be in there lamenting how bad their life is. They're thinking, man, I chose Jesus, and nothing's working in my life anymore. I'm in prison. What did I ever do? You know how we get. Instead, you know what they did? Around midnight, the Bible says they began to have a praise party. Around midnight, they're sitting there in the dungeon after being beaten and shackled in the inner parts of the prison. They start praising and worshiping God. And you know what? The jailhouse rocked, and God let them out. Think about this. God was moving on their behalf because when they began to praise and worship God, their praise initiated the move of God. God opened doors that man had closed and locked. God removed chains and liberated two men that had been shackled by man. Listen, I'm telling you that when you begin to praise and worship, God's power is released in your life, and all of a sudden any obstacle and hindrance that man tries to put in front of you, God sets free. If they lock you up, he lets you go. If they shackle you and chain you, he breaks the chains and the shackles, and he lets you go and sets you free. Listen, God liberated them because they praise and they worship. But I want you to hear this. There's the power of praise and worship is held in reserve until the people of God learn to open their mouth and praise him. Until we learn to clap our hands and shout unto God with a voice of triumph, that power will always be held in reserve. And I'm not talking fanaticism. I'm just simply talking about just coming in and engaging. Learning to worship. Learning to tap into the presence of the Lord. Listen, if you've ever had that moment, like I said, where you've come to church and you've been in a rotten mood and things just weren't working, but you began to praise and worship and all of a sudden you felt a little bit lighter and there was a little more joy in your heart. That's what I'm talking about. That's what the power of praise does. Listen, I believe that when we praise God, we're doing more than just making noise. We're inviting God into our situation. We're inviting God into our battle. And we're asking him, God, set up an ambush against the enemy of my soul. And we're securing those victories. Just because we praise and worship. Listen, we're stocking up tomorrow's revivals with anointing because of how we praise here and now. Listen, it's easy to sit around and complain. How many know that? But you know what? Complaining does not intimidate the enemy. Amen. Complaining does not invite the presence of God. And complaining will not initiate the move of God. Yes. Amen. Not going to happen. Every time, I mean, you read it. Every time Israel succumbed to complaining, you know what happened? They became susceptible to the corrective rod of God. I mean, you read it over and over again. They got it. God would deliver them. And I mean, think about it. The Red Sea, we just talked about it. They got across the Red Sea. Miriam and all the ladies got out there and had a praise party dancing across the wilderness floor. Not too many days later, they're thirsty. And you know what they do? Oh, God brought us out here to kill us. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo. You know? And that was a cycle. In fact, there's one scripture that said, and they wearied God. That's pretty bad. I mean, think about it. They wearied God. That means they got on his last nerve. Because they complain. It's not going to initiate the move of God. Listen, but when we praise, there's power in praise. God's name is exalted. The humble are encouraged. People are edified when we raise a praise. You know, I think the early church, guys, come on back as I wrap this up. The early church was a formidable church in part because they devoted themselves to praise and worship. Again, I'm sure it took on a different form than what we have here today. Obviously, I grew up in a different era. But there's still something powerful about coming together, singing songs, lifting up the name of Jesus. Listen, don't ever allow a bad week to interfere with your worship. Come together and join with your brothers and sisters and sing to the Lord and bless his name because he's worthy. I think about our youth and our children that we have, and they need to know that there's power in praise. Listen, if the Lord tarries, listen, I believe we're the generation. I'll be preaching a series later on this year on end times. I hadn't done it in a number of years, but I'll tackle it again. I believe we're the generation that Jesus spoke of when he said, and these things will not pass away till all be fulfilled. I believe we're that generation. So has every other generation. But I believe we're so close with the birth pains and all that stuff. I believe we're near. But if not, it's my responsibility, our responsibility as adults, grandparents and parents, to pass on to our next generation a vibrant, living faith. And part of that process is in praise and worship. They need to know that praise intimidates the enemy. They shouldn't be afraid. That's why I love seeing our kids come in here and jump all over the place singing and praising the Lord. They need to be able to do that. If they want to jump, jump. Amen? Amen? I have no issue with that whatsoever. They want to jump, jump up. They want to clap their hand, clap their hand. They need to know there's power in praise. It intimidates the enemy. It invites the presence of God, and it unleashes the power of God. And they need to experience the power of God because we're going to pass a baton onto that generation, and we need to make sure that we're doing justice to that. Listen, the early church was a formidable church in part, again, because they devoted themselves to prayer and worship. Listen, you may have had a hard week, maybe in a bad week. Maybe you've had a bad life. But you know what? You can speak the language of faith starting today and praise God. You can invite him into your situation. You can unleash God's power into your situation. Listen, and by praising God right now here, you're securing God victories for tomorrow. I love this. Moses praised God for things he never saw. Amen. Listen, there are things that you and I will be praising God for right now that we may not see, but our children and grandchildren will see it. When I came to this church in 1993, God laid it on my heart to see 1,000 active members. Active being the operative word, not 1,000. But 1,000 active members. You know what? I may never see it in my lifetime. May never see it in my lifetime. Well, we broke it a few times. But I may never see it. But my grandchildren, if the Lord tarries, may. If I continue to worship and speak things of faith. Yeah. Maybe. What about your situation? What about your family heritage? You know, those are important things. We need to praise God today, and in so, I think we secure the survival of the church for tomorrow. I want you to stand with me this morning. There is a power that comes together when we learn to praise. There's something that just intimidates the enemy. Some of you are fighting battles today that, number one, you didn't expect to be fighting. You're dealing with things that you never expected to be dealt with. this morning you've heard the key. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See, when we war not like other people. That's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. My struggle is not with my fellow man. My struggle is in the spirit realm. And it's only through spiritual weapons that I'm able to win victory. And part of that arsenal includes praise and worship. Jehoshaphat got the letter. He took it to the Lord. And he said, look, I want you to stand and watch. I want you to bring the band up and do some praise and worship. And when you do, you're inviting me in. You're inviting me in. You're unleashing my power. And I'll fight for you. And I think that's what I want to do this morning. Is I want us to I want us to sing this morning. And can we sing something a little more up tempo? Yeah, I know I'm throwing you already set on something. But here's what I want to do. You can go back and do that first song, Top of My Lungs, or Graves to Gardens or something like that. Whatever you guys, sorry about that. But here's what I want to do. I really want us to praise, especially this morning, if you're in a battle. If you're in a battle. Again, you may not feel it. You may still be grumpy after everything that's already happened today. That's okay. Grumps are allowed to worship. And I want you to invite God into your situation. As you begin to praise, again, it's the language of faith. You're declaring what God has done, what He's doing, and what He will do over your situation, your finances, your business, your marriage, your health. We serve a God of the miraculous. Don't let the enemy steal that. Don't let the enemy rob you of this arsenal. We'll get there. Yeah. Come on, I want you to engage him this morning. Lord, we declare it this morning. Lord, this is our battle cry. This is our battle cry. By faith, Lord.
Let praise be whoever that silences the enemy. Let praise be whoever that conquers all anxiety. Let it arise. Let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and claim your victory. Let it arise. Let praise arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you, the God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lift him high, with all creation cry, God, we praise you, oh, we praise you, oh, we sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. Sing with all we are and claim your victory. Let it arise. Let praise arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthrough. We praise you, oh, we praise you, oh.
Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Clap your hands, all ye people, shouting to God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Amen. 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 Victory's ours. Amen. Victory's ours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Victory belongs to us. I would declare to you today that victory is yours. It belongs to you. Trust me. Yield to me. Cast your burdens upon me. The victory is already yours. I've already fought the battles. There's no future battle to decide who wins. I've won. And because I'm for you, you are a winner as well. So walk in that victory. Live in that victory. Invite me into your situation. Invite me into your circumstances. And I will come in and I will lead you in my path, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessing to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What you just heard was a message of tongues and interpretations Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14. These are ministry gifts that are given to the body of Christ to edify, to build, to correct, to instruct. And I just, with God stopping a service to give a message, it's because somebody needs it. I want you to bow with me just for a moment. And I want to ask it this way. Maybe you're here today, maybe online. If you'll comment, we'll pray with you. You're in a fight of your life right now. I don't know what that is, but you're in a major, major battle. And you don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. You're frustrated. But God is making a way that you can't even see. Won't you slip your hand up if that's you this morning? I want to pray with you this morning. Listen, hands going up all across the place. Listen, he sees the battle. He knows the battle. But he's the battle plan. In the midst of things that you can't do anything about, learn how to be still and know that he's God. Learn how to pause and to praise. Because when you praise him in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your crisis, you invite him in and you unleash his power. Father, right now, in the strong name of Jesus, every mountain comes down, every valley is brought up. In that strong name of Jesus, every crooked way is made straight. Lord, the mouth of every lion is shut. Giants fall. In the strong name of Jesus. Father, I pray for the hands that went up. Maybe those that are online this morning that are battling with things that are far beyond what they can do. Lord, I pray that today we have heard, have comprehended, and have received your battle plan. The battle plan is not to strive in our natural abilities to try to figure it out, but the battle plan is a spiritual plan, and that is to stand and see the salvation of the Lord and to worship and praise. I pray this morning that, I know that's counterintuitive, but Lord, I pray that we would trust, Lord, we've trusted you in times past. May we trust you now. We've seen you move. Lord, you moved the mountains, and I believe you'll do it again. Lord, I pray this morning for those hands that went up. Lord, bring reassurance to them today that the battle doesn't belong to them. It's yours. Our job is to trust you and stand and watch. I pray for every financial battle, every health battle, every relational battle, every spiritual battle. Lord, that we would cease our workings and stand and watch you do what only you can. Father, we praise and we worship you. Lord, we exalt you. We invite you into our circumstances and we unleash your power to do what we cannot do ourselves. And Father, I thank you for that arsenal that you give to us. Lord, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Lord, I pray as we walk out of here today, we walk out in victory. We walk out claiming what, Lord, by faith. Lord, praise is a language of faith. We walk out praising you for what you're doing now and what you will do tomorrow. And we rejoice in what you've done in the past. Lord, I pray those mountains fall. I pray that that situation is taken care of. Lord, I pray this morning as we declare it by faith that, Lord, you make a way where there is no way, Lord, right now. I pray you'll give us a wonderful day. May we rejoice. May we incorporate praise and worship into our daily lives, Lord, as we learn how to fight the enemy. Lord, the way you tell us to. Go with us now. Give us a great day, I pray, in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen, amen. God bless you. Love you so much. Thank you for being with us. I look forward to seeing you next time.
This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. Yeah, this is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lifting high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lifted high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you.
Tell you about my Jesus.